We're on tape. Let's see if we're on teleconference.
Yeah. And Mother said,
things have a way of coming back on you.
It's so funny. I think it's a wonderful song.
I like it. There's a cop's cop, and he shuts his own mother's operation down.
See, the rest of the story, you can go off to the slammer.
You know, you get these stages of police officers go through, the wire up syndrome. So what is the mother's arresting syndrome come in?
That's how you get to be chief.
Not in your own home.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, son, your grandmother was...
Well, I guess it would be helpful to get this information to the teleconference if there is somebody else out there that... So we'll wait a couple of seconds. I guess so. If somebody has a question out there, we'll provide it. The question obviously is of why in the world do we want to shut down Monte Carlo nights? And the answer is that Monte Carlo, for those of you who don't perhaps know what it is a procedure in our law that allows the following to happen. A charity may operate a virtual casino for one night a year with craps and roulette and 21 and those kinds of things, where members who wish to, in effect, contribute to this charity, but do have the opportunity through this process to actually win something for their investment. They buy, with real money, chits. They play all these games all night, and some of them have actually won and end up with more chits than they started with, where they can go redeem chits for prizes that have been donated. It's a very nice function for charity. The Indian Gaming Commission has deemed through court decisions that people who allow certain kinds of gaming in their state have thus permitted it in some form in their state, which allows them that Indian tribes, within the definition of Indian tribes, on Indian country, within the definition of Indian country, may then negotiate with the state for what is, by the federal law, laid out as Class 3 gaming, which is this casino gaming kind of stuff. So that little innocuous Monte Carlo provides the opportunity for casino gambling in Alaska. Is the short of it. Representative Bundy.
Just a question, and I guess use you as the resource. You have as much knowledge or more than anyone else. Monte Carlo nights, if we keep them, could allow Indian gaming. Was the reverse also true then? If we get rid of Monte Carlo, will we not have the full-fledged casino? Can we be assured?
It puts the state... there's a couple of assumptions that you have to make. The assumption that most of us are running with here, and perhaps not correctly, but at least my opinion is that is not something that we would like to see happen in this state. Assuming that that's the policy of the administration, they would be negotiating with the Indian tribes to try to avoid full-fledged casino operations in Alaska. With that assumption that will be the position they take, their position on being able to successfully negotiate that position is enhanced tremendously if this is not in the law. And conversely, it's almost guaranteed to fail if the compact can't be reached and is appealed if it stays in the law. The casino or the cruise ship gaming bill fell into that same category, and that's why we sunsetted the thing, so that they can negotiate in good faith, saying that will not occur after September 1st in this state. And that's why
would bring me to my next question, because we did that for the cruise ships. I don't know that it makes a difference. I've heard from a number of charities, most notably Greater Anchorage Incorporated, where they have Monte Carlo night. Not only is it a money-generating thing, but it's part of the festival that people are out having a good time, and they make that makes donating, as you pointed out, a little more comfortable. But could we put a sunset in this so that it would sunset December 31st, 95? Would that still accomplish what we're trying to accomplish?
Great idea. As a matter of fact, if you read Section 6.
Oh, January 96. Okay, thank you. Now, obviously, this bill is hot off the presses.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
There's no reason.
that is not Representative Bundy's question. His question was a sunset clause. What you have here is an effective date clause.
Which is essentially the same thing.
They're not at all the same. This act takes effect January 1, 1996.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is not in any aspect a sunset clause.
Well, I think the bill eliminates Monte Carlo night.
January 1, 1996.
It has the same effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he wants to sunset the prohibition.
No, I wanted to give Monte Carlo. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to give Monte Carlo and the charities a time to phase out, and now they have until the end of the year if this were to pass.
I don't know how you said it, but I knew what you meant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to state for the record that I think the problem here is a gross error in federal law, and that's really where the matter needs to be addressed.
I don't disagree with that. I think that it was
I was going to ask a question. Do we have any information on what's happening in other places where they do have Indian reservations that's having full-fledged gambling? They do not necessarily comply with state law, and they're still doing it. And how is this going to keep it from happening in our state?
There's, in response to the question, one of the reasons that I went to that NCSL conference, the only reason I went was to get the full-day Indian gaming seminar the day before. The states that have this are kind of all over the board because they have developed this case law and been guided by different kinds of decisions throughout the last couple of years when they have engaged in these negotiations with their individual Indian tribes. And some governors have and legislatures have come from different positions of policy, too. So what they have negotiated in the compacts that do exist are a gamut of some allowing it, some not allowing it. Those who have tried to resist totally have had mixed case federal court reviews, too. And as a matter of fact, the most relevant one is at the Ninth Circuit and under review again at the Ninth Circuit, which is our federal court of appeals for the state. And unfortunately, it's kind of unsettled for us just exactly where we are. What you try to do is build the best, no pun intended, the best hand that you can hold for sitting down in these negotiations, and having these things off of our books would provide a much better position to argue from. Representative Bundy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I attended that conference with you, and while I don't have any personal heartburn with gambling of many kinds, what became very apparent that for Alaska, Indian gaming or any casino operation, no matter what entity ran it, it would be a disaster financially. That it was obvious that money had to come from out of your local community, out of your state, and even out of your country, if you will, because it involves disposable income. And if all the local people take their disposable income as they want to do to the casino because it's glitzy, then the hamburger joint, the bowling alley, the gas station, all these other places that survive on disposable income go away. And it's just not good for the local community.
Sometimes it isn't disposable. There's anything to say?
Well, Mr. Chairman, isn't it the case that the most likely scenario, if it's going to be allowed in Alaska under the status quo, it would only be in a few areas that are deemed Indian land, that the most likely cases are a number of southeast villages and places that still have reservations, which my memory is it's Venati in the absolute middle of nowhere, Tetlin, which is a reasonably remote communities, and maybe Eland, which is out on the Bering Sea someplace. Is there any other places that are likely besides those to be allowed to conduct any
engagement
under the status quo? Metlakatla. You mentioned southeast villages.
Four down here. There's at least one other that is likely to push it.
Tetlin and Eland are the ones that I recall as reservations. These are all the ones that
the
1971 the Claim Settlement Act chose to hold their old reservation over the Native Claim Settlement Act. Was how most of them
got. Well, once that happens, and you can bet that there's going to be a whole lot of others trying. Tyonek is already making noises like they want to try.
Well, the point I'm getting at is, first of all, we've got to think, why hasn't it occurred already? all over the rest of the country under the exact same law, the exact same circumstance, these casinos exist. This isn't just some discussion that's going on. Has anyone here been to an Indian casino?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of us, I've been to an Indian casino. They're all over the place. The reason it hasn't happened here is that the areas that have the particular...
Do you ask a question or are you making a statement? You ask the question why, and then you want to answer it.
No, I asked the question of which were the locations.
No, then you said, why hasn't this happened elsewhere? Would you like a response to that, or are you going to give it yourself?
It was a rhetorical question.
Oh, I see.
The rhetorical question is... I'm
going to
make my statement,
and
you're welcome to
Well, if you make those rhetorical questions in there, I get confused.
Well, if you think you're the only one who has the answer to that, I think it's obviously a rhetorical question, because we don't know exactly why it hasn't happened here. Some of the
I can give you a very good hint, but go ahead.
Some of the entities are trying to get it together and do it. I would suggest that one of the reasons is that most of the entities we just described either have no interest in it, or are in lousy locations, and the point that was made by Representative Mundy is true. They don't have very many people hit. The ones most likely to do it are someone who is on some sort of tourist route, which is going to tend to be a southeast place that can somehow get ferries or cruise ships or someone to come by. That's the real problem. Now, if we had an entity sitting right next to Anchorage, just the way in Phoenix, for instance, Phoenix is ringed by reservations, and that's where the casinos are. And my point behind all this is, number one, I see nothing wrong with Monte Carlo night. This is sort of a far-fetched reason to get rid of Monte Carlo nights. And number two, I don't see anything wrong with Indian gaming. I really don't. I think you want to regulate it. And I certainly agree with Representative Bundy made. I don't want it by our major population center. But this is a self-determination issue. And I know I must have been unaffected by the fact that two of my brothers are Indians, one of which the tribe has chosen to pursue this avenue. And I'll tell you, they're very poor down there in Arizona, as many of our Indians are and natives are in Alaska. And I think it's a little bit, I find it hard to imagine that we would decide that, no, the Indian entities that want to pursue this do not have enough self-determination to make that decision for themselves, and that we're so anti-gambling that we're going to preclude that. But at the same time, we just passed a law that says that cruise ships can have all-out casinos while they're in Alaska waters. I can't see why we'd preclude one and then allow the other. I say, I haven't seen a strong reason to do the action
before
today.
Are you going to get it,
Mr.
Chairman?
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, attended that gambling seminar in San Diego, and the stories they told from the states that had gambling were horrendous. But the bottom line was, and has been alluded to already, that if you don't have an outside source of people to come and gamble, then you're doomed to failure. And the reason the cruise ship works is because they take their people with them. They pick them up in some foreign port, and they bring them in, and they're not allowed to gamble within 3 miles of a port here. They've got their gamblers, but when you go to someplace like Venetia or Metlakatla, you really don't have a large draw area, so that even if, for some reason, that would become some sort of a mecca for people who are coming to Alaska to swing by and say, I played cards at Metlakatla, isn't going to get it done for the rest of the year. There's a season for tourism, and then there's the 9 months that they don't do anything, and they'd have to depend on their local people. And we know that it's not just disposable income that goes into gambling, and the state ends up then holding the bag for people who have somehow been lured into this thing. Repeatedly, statistically, they showed that if you weren't the kid on the block, one, if you weren't in an area that you could draw from outside of your state, two, you were doomed to failure. And this was repeated over and over and over by all the people that attended from all the states that gambled.
Just to go back, and I hate to bring up Metlakatla or even Toyonic as an example. There's no way to drive to Metlakatla. There's no way to drive to Toyonic. So you're only going to keep the people that are in that village, and you're going to have some that have wonderful jobs and some that have no jobs at all, but get AFDC. So they're going to use that kind of money, and then people have good jobs. So you're always feeding that whole little gambling group with the money that's within that community. Bad news.
I guess in response to the rhetorical question, I think it's just now coming into vogue up here because of ANCSA. We're the only state that has that situation in effect. Most of the land that might have been categorized that way was signed off of that category. There's still dispute as to whether that is or isn't Indian country. In any event, I think we've pretty well kicked around where we're at with it.
Representative Green? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one question that we have this act sunsetting, beginning January 1st, while we're sunsetting cruise ships in September. Is there a reason why this is extended beyond?
Cruise ship season generally is over in September.
Why?
This goes on to the end of the year.
I understand that, but I'm just wondering why it goes on.
I think probably because there are some of these Monte Carlo things scheduled in the fall.
Okay,
I think so, yes, I don't know.
The reason I bring that up is that there was some indication, certainly as I recall it, that the longer this continues, the worse the situation gets as far as the states, the federal government observing what the state's doing. And unless there was some strong evidence, I would wonder why this wouldn't be shortened too. But if there's some major thing that comes up just before the end of the year, why?
I would hope that at the end of this, that we have, when the state has settled its position on gambling and gaming and et cetera, that we can come back and visit a way for the charities, the troop charities, and the people like Access and Challenge Alaska to raise funds, because we have put so much effort to making them responsible for their monies, and now we're taking it away from them. And I think it's a very harsh treatment, and I think we really need to look at this when it's over and done with, and we've done the best we have can for the state, and then we come back and revisit that.
President Vesey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just commenting more or less on the same lines Representative Tu is going, I don't see, right now I believe the communities that are possibly pursuing this are Metlakatla, Angoon, Kuaak, and Cake, I believe. I don't see how it can at all be possible for any kind of a gambling casino to be economically feasible in those communities. I really think that we're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here. The problem does lie with the federal law, and if we try to take the burden on ourselves, we're really not addressing the problem. We need to be addressing this with our congressional delegation. Not so much, a resolution would be more appropriate than a statute.
I can't disagree that the problem is at the federal level. I just don't know if it's solvable in the period of time necessary that is required for the negotiations with the tribes to continue. If at some point in time good faith negotiation, the presumption of good faith negotiation goes away and could be turned around so that the Gaming Commission, and we don't even have the right to appeal this, if you remember. We don't have the right to appeal this final decision of the Gaming Commission. I don't like the solution either, but what it does give us is 6 or 7 months to work on it. And we wouldn't be, I don't think we would be devastating any charities if we found the solution between now and then, and they were only without the ability to have Monte Carlo for a month until we got geared up next January and fixed it. Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is a really tough issue. The problem is we're taking action. That is a pretty strong action. We're eliminating something with Monte Carlo with no evidence before us and probably no agreement if there's anything wrong with Monte Carlo. I think they're great. They're one of the most social of charitable occasions, and all the ones I've ever been to have been very nice events that serve a very good cause. And one of the few options people have, in that realm. Because the same crowd is not going to come sit and play bingo. You shoot for different crowds. This is one way to get that crowd. And the groups that do this pour tons of time into it, and they turn volunteer effort into money, because it takes 100 volunteers to run Monte Carlo at a big one. So what we're doing is we're getting rid of something that's definitely good to make our hand somewhat stronger. No perfect hand, but make our hand somewhat stronger over something we're not even sure how bad it is, even if it was to happen. We're not even sure if it really happened, because, as I said before, they could, in these isolated places, be already have been doing it. The reason they aren't is the point that they probably won't make money in most of them. And these folks are pretty smart, The entity that's authorizing it isn't some outside entity that wants to build the locals. It is the locals. It's the tribal authority or, whatever they have there and their local entity. So the money they make is just off all their people and goes into a pool that's for their people. So if they were ever to do it, even if somehow to get their players to play, all they'd be doing is putting money into the community coffers, not sending it somewhere else. And often they use that money for community good. Now, by some miracle, maybe one of them could pull it off in some way that Metlakatla gets some boats to swing by or something. Who knows? They're close to Ketchikan, and maybe it could work, in which case I say, go for it. The issue here that we aren't talking about very much, but we're all sort of taking a side on, is Indian self-determination. And these folks, and I don't know the situation of all these folks, I do know Vita Tai and some of the others, they made a decision. They decided to not opt into the Native Claim Settlement Act. And I know Tetlin was in that same circumstance. They were presented with all this deal, and instead they said, hey, we're going to stick with our old reservation, we liked our status, and they 200 out of the 200 plus villages in Alaska chose the other. They all became corporations. These chose the other way for a variety of reasons, and part of it is a self-determination issue. They want to retain control. I know gambling isn't that popular. I know it doesn't have support of all of our citizens necessarily, but I think that's what Indian self-determination comes down to. We have to sometimes decide that we can't control what goes on in their way.
What's the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Fizik.
I move that HB 327 be passed from the Judiciary Committee with individual recommendation and attached zero fiscal note.
And a motion to move
it. It's not a zero fiscal note.
No, Mr. Chairman, I had wanted to offer just a one-word amendment to change the January date to March, only because the legislature never can act within a month. I mean, just the way things work around here. I think a March, to change the word January to March, would just buy two more months, so that if it turns out this all works out, that there doesn't have to be a period where this is made illegal. Because you're right that it would only preclude activity during that one period, but these events involve, you know, months and months and months of planning. It would probably preclude it over a much longer, probably for the first half of the year.
I'm going to object to the amendment, only because I don't know what, I'll readily admit, this stuff is fast breaking. I don't know what the schedule of negotiations are or what it is that drove this particular date. If it is that we have to go forward with this and present it on the floor of the House, I will know by then what the actual reason for that effective date is and be guided by that, and you can certainly make that motion on the floor if there isn't, if you haven't become aware of some reason not to.
Reflecting that, I think I'll withdraw that amendment. Could I offer another amendment, Bill, to the conceptual one, to put on a 2-year sunset, 2 years from the end of this fiscal year, so that it would sunset the effect of this prohibition so that July 1st?
No. I mean, you can make it, but...
that's exactly what we did in the case of the... I take that back, that isn't what we did in the case. It would just mean that if we can resolve this problem, that someday there will be...
You're just taking two cards out of the hand of the state in negotiations, because they would not be able to say that we're not going to have this at a certain date. What you're saying is, well, it's coming back at a certain time, and that just puts all the cards in the other.
I won't offer them anything.
First thing, Julie?
Would it be reasonable to say January 30th instead of January 1st?
I would really resist changing this thing at all, because I don't know that much about it. I just got it. Representative Green?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there anyone that can explain what substantially the same as before January 159.
I think that might have been the Mrs. Porter Memorial experience.
The license and receptor must exist in the state in substantially the same form as Mrs. Porter, the same manner. For January 159.
I think that is some date tied to the federal activities that is necessary, but I'm not sure.
Isn't this kind of what grandfather's in the Nana Ice Classic and that kind of thing?
I don't know.
No. What we're changing here is
mentioned.
This is all existing law. What we're changing is and other activities authorized under
it's existing law, so I don't know how to do.
Well, it says may not be licensed unless it's in the same whatever that was. Does that casino gambling? I don't know what happened prior to...
No, this is existing law.
I understand that.
Yeah. Before stating that, whatever.
Well, that's true. That isn't true.
That's what we got here.
I got it in the ice
box. Okay. Well, okay.
59 is still there, I'm not sure.
59 is stage one.
What is it? Okay. We've had a motion to move. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I would object just to say I've heard but I won't keep this. But it doesn't mean I support it on the floor either.
Sure. Is there objection to moving?
Okay.
There's objection. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Tweedy?
Yes.
Representative Bundy?
Yes.
Representative Davis?
Yes.
Representative
Beasy? No, yes, I'm sorry.
Representative Finkelstein?
No.
Representative Green?
Yes.
Representative Porter?
Yes.
The damn old?
As far as I've ever moved, you know.
Fool me.
Oh, okay.